requesting permission to talk with other teams about a possible trade. The NBA rejecting the Knicks' protest over their February 12th two-point loss to the Rockets. Knicks and the refs say a last-second foul was a mistake. League says ref mistakes are judgment errors, not a misapplication of the rules, so no protests.
Here's your WOR Weather Channel forecast. Gusty breezes continue into sunrise. A chance for a few showers. Very windy conditions, low near 30. Winds out of the southwest, gusting as high as 40 miles an hour. Mostly sunny, windy weather ahead Thursday. Afternoon high around 40 with a gusty west wind. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel on 710 WOR.
Next news at 10, breaking news at once. Start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 till 10. I'm Andrew Whitman on 710 WOR, an NBC News radio station.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Late winter, early spring in the south of France. I go to paradise as it is understood by the English, and I'm coming to accept the fact that the south of France is magic. Simon Constable joins, writing at Forbes and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications. The first attention is to his daffodils, which are well ahead of daffodils anywhere in New England. You have to go to what you'd have to say, controlled conditions to get daffodils this advanced. Simon, a very good day to you. You send me a photograph of your daffodils. They're in full bloom. What other positives of the springtime are you learning in Occitane? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, I'm learning that the sun can arrive in February, and it's definitely here today. We've got a high of around 52, and with sun, you only need one jumper or sweater, whatever you want to call it, to go outside. So that is absolutely lovely. And, you know, it really actually lifts the mood. So we've had rain, quite a lot of rain, much more than usual for the past few weeks. So that is a delight today to be able to go out, look at the great sun in the sky and think, yay, this is good. And we look forward to hopefully a lot more as things go.
Yes, there's more to Europe than the war in Ukraine, but we must attend immediately to the European economy. There's trouble in Germany. There's trouble in the United Kingdom. At this point, Italy is projecting growing at 0.7 for 2024, a number that would alarm the U.S. for growth. So we turn to commodities. Brent crude is the way Europe keeps score of oil coming out of the Middle East. Any significant change, Simon?
Not hugely significant. It's edged up a bit. It's now $84 a barrel, and that's, I think, about a dollar higher than it was last week when we spoke. So that's not terrible. It was getting up to the upper bound of where it really starts to pinch drivers when it's converted into diesel or gasoline. So that's pretty much the same. And then we go on to wheat, which continues to be in the doldrums. It's about $5.80 a bushel, which is basically very similar to where it was late last year. And we're seeing corn continue to fall. It's now $4.08 a bushel. Again, that's way, way lower than it was in December. And soybeans continue to tumble down. So on November the 14th, it was $14 a bushel, and now it's $11.
So
really falling. All positive if you're a buyer, not if you're a seller.
And we move to the story of the grocery store then. You've seen the articles from the U.S. in the Wall Street Journal about the price of food. Customers avoiding the cheese aisle because it's too tempting and too expensive on a budget. We have news from back home for you. United Kingdom inflation at the market seems to have ebbed or at least plateaued for a while. Do you see any distinction in the south of France where the food comes from? I understand you're growing the food now. Any sharp rise in your food prices?
Not really. We haven't really seen much of a rise there of late. Obviously, we did see a rise last year, and there is a little bit of that, but really not a whole lot. And one thing we do know is that once the harvest starts coming in, things like the fresh fruit and vegetables, which is grown all around us, then we see things practically being given away. And in fact, last summer, our neighbors who have a little garden within their farm brought over armloads full of massive, what we would call courgettes, and you might call zucchinis, and massive basically tomatoes that are as big as two man's fists put together and things like that. Just brought over and just left. Just said, oh, there you go. We can't eat all of these. Why don't you have some? So I think this is not going to be a problem in the south of France. And in at the shops, I think things are going to come down. Because, as you know, and as we've said many times, the cure for high prices is high prices.
Yes, now that we've celebrated the bounty, let's go to the shortages. A profound shortage. Tea, that's right. The tea fleet, the East China fleet, is troubled. Simon, your piece in Forbes is both accurate and witty. What has happened to the price of tea? What has happened to tea's availability back home? And how much does England depend upon the tea fleet from Asia?
Well, this is fascinating. So I grew up with tea, as do most people who were born in Britain or spent a lot of time there. They consume a lot of tea, do the Brits. And I personally, along with everybody else, drink 100 million cups a day, which is quite a lot for a country that doesn't have 100 million people. And that really, really cuts into things when you find out that there's a shortage because of problems in the Red Sea. Now, we know about the problems in the Red Sea interrupting ships and the Royal Navy there and the U.S. Navy being there to protect those ships and to retaliate against the Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. What we've learned from Tetley's is one of the leading two brands of tea in the U.K. They typically sell it in tea bags in the U.K., and it's very good, as is PG Chips, their competitor. Tetley's saying supplies are tight, and it isn't surprising because it takes almost twice as long to get your ship of tea round Africa than it does to come through the Red Sea. The problem now is that going through the Red Sea is way dangerous, and you might get your vessel sunk and lose everything. So that's really, really bad, and I think this could be a major problem. It will also, I guess, harden the resolve of Parliament to get things right, because whenever there's something bad happening, you basically say to your person sitting next to you, let's have a cup of tea or a pot of tea, and we'll drink that, and hopefully things will be better.
Yes, I quickly tell the anecdote from A Bridge Too Far 40, 50 years ago. Sean Connery playing the commander of the 1st Paratroop Division, the all-British parachutists. And the Bridge Too Far means that they're stuck outside their target zone under attack by the Germans. And someone serves Sean Connery a cup of tea. And the question is raised, why is it when we English are most anxious, we drink tea? And the response, which Simon endorses, is, it can't hurt, can it? So that's how vital tea is to the British society. And there's a shortage now, but there's many more troubles to speak of. And when we come back, we're going to turn to the trouble back home for the United Kingdom in Parliament and in the post office and in the economy. This is CBS Eye on the World with Simon Constable of Forbes and Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications in Paradise, the South of France.